Today's shiur is Masechet Pesachim Daf Nun Beis, and we will begin on Daf Nun Aleph from a Beis, two lines from the bottom. As we know, in the time before the calendar that we follow, which is a fixed calendar, they used to be Mekadosh Techodesh. They used to determine the new month based on Edom coming to Beis Din and saying that they saw the new moon, and when Beis Din accepted their testimony, they would declare Rosh Chodesh. Based on that, we would know when Yom Tov is. To notify the people who did not live near the Beis Din, they sent shlichim, messengers, to notify everyone when was Rosh Chodesh. However, they traveled. They did not have modern means of travel. So the shlichim would only be able to get up to a certain place. So anybody who lived further than that, anyone who lived further than those areas, had to keep 2 days Yom Tov. That was the original, the origination of what we know as Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus, that we have to keep 2 days Yom Tov, because they did not know exactly when Yom Tov was, because they did not know exactly when Rosh Chodesh was. So this begins the Gemara. Amalei Rav Safra l'Rav Abba. So Rav Safra said to Rav Abba, we, the Adinan B'Kaviya D'Yarcha, we know when Rosh Chodesh was, and therefore we know when Yom Tov is. B'Yishuv L'Yavdinan, if I will come to a place where they keep 2 days Yom Tov, because it's a place where the Shlichim have not arrived, I will not do Malacha, because the people there are not able to do work because they're keeping Yom Tov, and I have to follow, as we've been learning in our sugyas, the Minig Hamokim. B'midbar Mai, but what happens if I'm not where they're living? Amalei, so to which Rav Abba said to Rav Safra, Hachi Amar Rav Ami, this is what Rav Ami said, B'yishuv Osir, if you're in a place where they're keeping 2 days Yom Tov, you have to keep 2 days Yom Tov. But Midbar, but if you're not there, you're out in the Midbar Mutter, then you may do Melacha. So of course, the Mashal, based on Tosfos, tries to understand this Gemara. If Rav Safra said that he knows when it's Yom Tov, because he knew when Rosh Chodesh was declared, so how do we understand this Gemara that they should have to keep 2 days Yom Tov? Again, they're not living in the world that we live in, where they kept 2 days Yom Tov because that's the minig. They kept 2 days Yom Tov because they didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was. So if he knew, why wouldn't they know? So the Mashal, based on Tosfos in Masechta Sukkah, says a very beautiful explanation. He says, as we just mentioned, the way they knew when it was or wasn't Yom Tov was based on the shlichim arriving. However, there are places that the shlichim could arrive in Nisan and they can't arrive in Tishrei. Because if we think about it, in Tishrei, there are 2 days less when you could have shlichim arrive than in Tishrei. In Tishrei, we have 3 days less. There's the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and there's the 1 day of Yom Kippur. So a place where shlichim could arrive in Nisan, we don't have those days, but they cannot arrive in Tishrei. They have to keep 2 days Yom Tov in both of those places. Now, even though in Nisan they really knew when Rosh Chodesh was, but they couldn't have that Sukkot, they'll keep 2 days, and Pesach, they'll keep 1 day. But Rav Safra was from the place where they were able to arrive. They were able to arrive in Nisan, and that's why he knew when the real day of Yom Tov was. But his question was, since in this place, the Shlichim can't get there in Sukkot, and therefore they keep 2 days Yom Tov, both Sukkot and Pesach, what should I do? And he was told that a person that comes to such a place has to keep 2 days Yom Tov. Tosfos says, not only must he keep 2 days Yom Tov, because as we've been learning in our sugyas, because of machloikis, But Tosfos goes on to say that even Betzinner, even when it's not public, he's not allowed to melacha. Why may he not do melacha? Because since this is the minig hamakim, this is the minig in this place, and this is where he is for yontif, he has to keep 2 days yontif completely. There are rishonim that disagree, that say that b'chadri chadorim, privately, he doesn't have to keep 2 days yontif. It's only publicly where he has to keep 2 days yontif. There are rishonim, the Balamor, whose approach is that even if we could suggest that the only reason he has to keep 2 days yontif is with Nea Machloikis, to avoid any Machloikis, when we speak about the meaning of keeping 2 days yontif, it's stronger meaning than all other minhagim. And in fact, the Chacham Tzvi uses this in the opposite direction. He says that if somebody from Chutz Loretz comes to Eretz Yisrael, that since in Eretz Yisrael, obviously they only keep 1 day yontif, somebody who comes from Chutz Loretz to Eretz Yisrael, again, because the minhag hamakom, and because the issue, particularly when it comes to yontif, is so serious, that person, even though he has intention to go back to Chutz Loretz, it's not that he's coming to live here, should only keep 1 day yontif. The Yavetz disagrees, and the Yavetz says that when we're applying the concept of Nei HaMachloikis, it's only L'chumra. So even though Rav Safra technically should have only kept 1 day yontif, because of Nei HaMachloikis, he should keep 2 days yontif. But a person who's supposed to keep 2 days yontif, the person from Chutz Loretz who's in its role, to say Mibnei Machloikis, and because of the Machloikis, he should only keep 1 day yontif, the Yavetz disagrees, and that's the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins, that a person who comes from Chutz Loretz to its role, he should keep 2 days yontif. However, again, following what we just learned from Tosfos, those 2 days yontif they should keep, he should not keep publicly because of Nei HaMachloikis. When does the halakha apply that he has to keep 2 days yontif if he's from Chutz Loretz? If it's that to lachzer, if it's intention to go back to Chutz Loretz. And the Pri Chodesh says that even if it's his intention to go back after a long time, it makes no difference. As long as it is his intention to go back to Chutz Loretz, he's in the category of Dat HaLachzer. Der Tzvi disagrees. And Der Tzvi says that Dat HaLachzer is only a person who's Dat HaLachzer right away. If he intends to be in Eretz Yisrael for a number of years, then go back, he's not considered Dat HaLachzer. The Magen Avraham makes a very interesting distinction. He says, single Bochrim, or girls, even though they're going to be in Eretz Yisrael for a while, they're considered datam lachzer. The reason they're considered datam lachzer is because their support comes from Chutz Loretz, and their entire existence is still a temporary existence because they're not settled down with a family. On the other hand, says the Magen Avraham, if he moves to Eretz Yisrael, even with a family, with his wife and children, even though it's his intention to move back, but right now, since he has such a kavius in Eretz Yisrael, he's there with his family, he's considered ain't dat halachzer. I saw a very interesting point made by Rav Vosner Zatzal in the Shalos HaTshuvos Shevet Levi, Chelek Dalet Simen Samach Dalet, that was only, perhaps the halacha was like that in those days, because for a person who traveled, it was much more complicated to travel. So once you were somewhere, you were more likely to remain there. But Zman Hazeh, where travel is so easy, the halacha may be different. Dorach HaShulchan says that the shear is 12 months. And if you're intending to be in a certain place for 12 months, even though it's your intention ultimately to go back to where you came from, you're considered ein dat halachzer. So the Gemara said that in the Yishuv it's Osir, but in the Yishuv he has to keep 2 days Yontif. In the Midbar, he could keep 1 day Yontif. So the Mishnah Berurah says that the definition of a yishuv is a place where there are Jews. And it makes a lot of sense what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. Because we're learning in our entire shiur that the concern is with Bnei HaMachloikis. So where there are other Jews who are keeping 2 days Yontif, and I will only keep 1 day Yontif, that's where we have to be concerned with Bnei HaMachloikis. But in a place where there are no Jews, so there's no concern of Bnei HaMachloikis, and then the halacha would be that if he's a person that intends to go back to Tzisrael, he could keep only 1 day Yontif. There's an interesting shaila that the Shaila of Tshuvas Pitzel HaChochem discusses extensively in Chelek Aleph Simen Vav. There was a Jew who was leaving Eretz Yisrael to go live in the United States. And as he was traveling to the United States, in those days he traveled by both, he ended up spending Pesach in the city of Marseille. The halacha is, as we're learning, that a Jew from Eretz Yisrael who goes to Chutz Laretz is only obligated to keep 2 days Yontif, we're learning in our Gemara, but Bnei HaMachloikis. But what would be the halacha? The halacha would certainly be that this person has to put on tefillin on Yontif Sheni Shalgolius. The chiv to wear tefillin on that day for such a person is a chiv deraisa, and the minig of Bnei HaMachloikis that he should keep 2 days Yontif cannot exclude him from wearing tefillin. So now the question is, how do we look at this person? Do we say, the moment he left Eretz Yisrael, when the intention of living in Chutz Laretz, he has to keep 2 days of Yontif? Or maybe the chiyuv of keeping 2 days Yontif is only when he reaches his destination where he's going to live in Chutz Laretz. This person whose intention is to live in the United States, has not yet arrived in the United States, and therefore, maybe he's not yet considered a Ben Eretz Yisrael. So we actually have, in our sugyas, between the previous daf, he pointed the Betzel HaChochma, and our daf, two very interesting and not necessarily same conclusions. The Gemara in our previous year spoke about Rabbi Babachana, who was from Eretz Yisrael, that when he got to Bavel, should continue following the minhag of Eretz Yisrael, and that we spoke about the chaylev, and that he could continue eating a food that was considered chaylev in Bavel, because in Eretz Yisrael, it's not considered chaylev. And the Gemara explained, since it wasn't his intention to go back to Eretz Yisrael, he's not obligated to follow those minhagim of Bavel. On the other hand, the Gemara teaches us today that Rav Safra, who was from Eretz Yisrael, came to a place where they kept 2 days of Yontif, and he was told, as we just learned, as long as he's in such a place, he has to keep 2 days Yontif. So Tosfos, the very masculine Yishuv, asks the obvious question, why in our previous year, when we were speaking about Rabbi Babachana, we said that we go what his intention are, and if it's that the lachzer, he should keep them in Hagim Eretz Yisrael, and not in our Gemara. So the Chasam Sofer says that the difference was that Rabbi Babachana had every intention of going back to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he's considered like an individual of Eretz Yisrael. Whereas Rav Safra left Eretz Yisrael, but where he was currently was not where he intended to remain. Where he was currently was not really where he wanted to be in Chutz Laretz. And since he wasn't in the place where he intended to be, that's why he's still considered L'chumra of Ben Eretz Yisrael. So according to Chasam Sofer, the question that was posed to the Betzel HaChochma is very explicit in our Gemara. Our Gemara is saying that somebody who, according to the Chasam Sofer, somebody who leaves Eretz Yisrael with the intention of moving to a certain destination, the Chutz Laretz, until he arrives at that destination, he's not considered a Ben Chutz Laretz. The Betzel HaChochma, however, points out that even though this is the pshat that the Chasam Sofer uses in our Gemara, it's not the explanation that most Achroinim accept. And therefore, this person should keep 2 days of Yontif, like as if he was in Eretz Yisrael, as a person who living in Chutz La'aretz, since he left Eretz Yisrael with the intention of becoming a Ben Chutz La'aretz. We know that if somebody violates the Rabbanon, he's chayiv makas mardis. Any makas that somebody would get for violating an issa Rabbanon are called makas mardis. The reason that they called makas mardis, because he rebelled against what the Chacham say. We know that we're obligated to follow whatever the Chacham say, and somebody who doesn't follow their instructions is considered a moirid, somebody who rebelled. The Tosefta teaches us that makas mardis are not like Malkus Daraisa. Malkus Daraisa, we know, are 39 Malkus. By makas mardis, we keep on giving the person Malkus until he accepts to what he's supposed to do, even if it means that he may expire. Furthermore, the Oruch says that we know that the Gemara Masechta Malkus teaches us that if somebody is Chas V'Shalom Chayiv Malkus, they used to evaluate, he has to get 39 Malkus, but we have to evaluate if he's able to withstand those 39 Malkus. Here, that halacha doesn't apply. There are also Rishonim that differentiate when we speak about Makas Mardis, what is the halacha when we speak about Makas Mardis? Is there a difference between a Drabonon, which is a pure Drabonon, versus a Drabonon, which is only here to protect a Deraisa? And they want to suggest that a Drabonon that's here to protect a Deraisa is less serious than a Drabonon that is here to a new Drabonon. Because if it's a Drabonon to protect the Deraisa, even though the person, of course, very incorrectly, is violating the Drabonon, he will still follow what the Deraisa says. Whereas if the Drabonon is not connected to the Deraisa, it's much more serious. Says the Gemara of Nosson ben Asya Ozlo Mibay Ravel Pabadisa Biyotu Sheni Shal Tzaris. He traveled past the Tchum on the second day Yontav Shavuos, and Shamte Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef put him into Cheirim. And I saw that some Seifer says that the Gemara is deliberately pointing out that it was Yontav Sheni Shal Tzaris, because he says there were people who took a more lenient approach to the Yontav Sheni of Shavuos versus to all the other Yontav Shenis. For as we explained at the beginning of our shiur, all the other Yontav Shenis that were originally established is because truly in these communities that were so far away from Yerushalayim to really know when Rosh Chodesh was established, they had to keep 2 days Yontav because they truly did not know what was the real date of Yontav. Shavuos, we can never have that problem. Because Shavuos, we always know, we started the second day of Shavuos counting the Sfira, and the 50th day is Shavuos. So everybody always knows when Shavuos is. Still, the halacha is that once Chazal established that in Chutz La'aretz we have to keep 2 days Yontif, they set off all Shalosh Regalim, even Shavuos included. And the Gemara is trying to show us, points out the Chasam Sofer, how serious they took somebody who violated that and said, I know when Shavuos is, I'm going to be able to travel. He violated that Chazal said that in Chutz La'aretz we have to keep 2 days of Yontif, even in Shavuos. So by doing so, they put him to Cheirim. So says the Gemara, Amalei Abaya, V'lindei Mayan Negide, why don't you give him Makas Mardis? Amalei, so Rav Yosef responded, Adifa Avdalei, I did what is considered more of a punishment. And as the Miri explains, punishments that are given are because we want people to have a kaparis avonis. So the bigger the punishment, the more kaparis avonis he will have. The Marava Mimno and the Gida the Bei Rav, Vela Mimno Hashemta. And that's a Sroll that if a Talmud Chacham did something wrong, they would gather together to decide if he deserves Malkus. But when it came to putting him to Cheirim, they didn't do that so quickly. They were concerned about Kavod HaTorah. So we see that putting somebody into Cheirim is a more serious punishment. Ikadamri, Nagdeh Rabbi Yosef. He indeed, Rabbi Yosef indeed gave Rav Nosson Ba'asya Makas Mardis. To which Amalei Rabbaya asked Rabbi Yosef Nisham Timar, why don't you put him at the Cherim? The Rav Shmuel Damon Tavayu, that didn't Rav and Shmuel both teach us the Menadin and Shnei Yom Taim Shagoyus? If somebody doesn't keep the Yot of Shnei Shagoyus, we put him into Cherim. Amalei Hani Mili in Ishtamalam. A regular person, we would indeed put into Cherim. Hocha. But the person that we're discussing here, it's Suvan the Rabbanon, who is the Talmud Chacham, the Tavalei Avdei, I did not, and therefore, I gave him an easier punishment. The Maravan, at Yisrael, Mimnoan, got it to the Bay Rav, V'lai Mimnoan Shamta. And at Yisrael, if Talmud Chacham did something wrong, they would give him Malkus, but they would not put him at the Cherim. A Cherim is considered a much more serious punishment, which they did not want to give to Talmid Chachamim. So we learned in the Mishnah, Ki Yotzba, Hamal Perishvius, if somebody carries Perishvius from a place, as we've discussed, the Tarak Dosha teaches us that once Perishvius are no longer available to animals in the field, we may not have them at home either. That's called Zman Habir. And the Mishnah taught us that if somebody brought Paris from a place where those Paris are no longer available to where they are available, or vice versa, the loch is, we give him chumre, both chumres, and chayev levar, he has to dispose of those Paris. Rav Yehuda, we learned in the Mishnah, say, tsevel havelecha ata, bring your own Paris. So the Gemara, in its havamina, is understanding what Rav Yehuda meant to say, that if somebody brought Paris from a place where those payers are still available to a place where they are no longer available, there's no chiyah beer. Because there's no machloikus. Because what's the reason we should tell him not to be allowed to eat those payers? Because here where he is currently, those payers aren't available. But he could tell them, they could be available for you. You too bring payers from a place where the payers are available. And therefore, the Gemara and the Havamina is assuming that that's why Rabbi Yehuda was lenient. Ask the Gemara, but how could Rabbi Yehuda be lenient? The less lay Rabbi Yehuda the Tanan, didn't our Mishnah clearly teach us that noisan lav chumrei makom shiyatz misham v'chumrei makom shaylech l'sham? That even though you could come up with a reason to be lenient, when you always have to follow the minhag hamakom. Says the Gemara, we have to understand the Mishnah differently. Amar Rav Sheshi b'Rei d'Ravidi, milsach chwita kamar Rabbi Yehuda. We need to understand what Rabbi Yehuda meant to say, v'achi kamar. This is what Rabbi Yehuda meant to say. Memakim shaloi kalu. If you bring payers from a place where they're still available, lemakim shaloi kalu, to another place where they are available. But now, by the time I arrive to this new place, v'shamu, I heard shekol b'mekaymai. Where I come from, they are no longer available. The Tanakhama holds chayiv levar. I have to destroy those payers because right now these are payers from a place where they're mechuyev to be destroyed. Rabbi Yehuda is lenient and he says because tseva avalei ato mehechad esnenu. Since I am now in a place where the payers are available. And since now the payers are available, that's why I could be lenient and continue eating those payers. So according to this understanding, the case of our Mishnah is you brought payers from a place where they are available to a place where they are available, but when now you hear that in your original place, they're no longer available. Tanakhama says those payers may not be eaten because they come from a place where they're no longer available. And Rabbi Yehuda is lenient, and Rabbi Yehuda says that since right now you are in a place where those payers are available, that's why you could eat them. So according to this interpretation of our Mishnah, Lememra, Rabbi Yehuda Lekulakama, it turns out Rabbi Yehuda is the more lenient approach, the more lenient opinion. Ask the Gemara, Vam Rabbi Lozer taught us that Loam Rabbi Yehuda Lechumra, that Rabbi Yehuda is the Machmer, but the way we just understood the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is the Mekel, Ella Epoch. So we have to, says the Gemara, because of this question, that the Tanakhama is going to hold Enechayev Levar, you need not dispose of those payers, because right now you are in a place where those payers are available, and that's a good enough reason why you may continue eating those payers. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tseva Havalei Ata, we tell this person, go find such payers. And those payers, if you bring them from where you brought them, Hakololuhu, are not available, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is the Machmer. Abaya says there's a different way of understanding the machlokes of Tanakhama Rabbi Yehuda. And we don't have to reverse the positions. Kriktani. We learn the Mishnas for Elos, Vach Kama. The way to understand the Tanakama is that you brought Paris from a place where they are no longer available to a place where they are available, or even Makam Shaloi Kalu, or from a place where they are available, Lamakam Shakalu, to a place where they are no longer available. The halacha is, in both cases, you have to dispose of the Paris. But now, if after you brought them to this place where they are no longer available, you take them back to the original place, and in the original place, they still are available. So right now, your Paris, says the Tanakama, originated in this place, and were brought back to this place. The fact that in the middle they were in the place where they're no longer available doesn't make a difference. And in Chayav Levar, they need not be disposed. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds, Save Avali Af Atamecha Desinu. Rabbi Yehuda tells this person, you brought these Paris to a place where they're no longer available. The moment you bring those Paris into the place where they're no longer available, they must be disposed. Chayav Levar. And then, therefore, even though now that you brought them back to the original place, it wouldn't help you. Kaluhu. Maskel Rav Ashi. So asks Rav Ashi on Abaye's explanation of this machloikis. Li Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Yehuda, that when you take them back to the original place, you have to destroy them. Why? Asks the Gemara. Ota agaba de chamer kaltenu, where they brought, did they become absorbed into the saddle of the donkey? In other words, what the Gemara is saying is, just because they were temporarily in a place where they're no longer available, doesn't mean that they become permeated with the halach of that place. And since they originated in a place where they're available, and they're back to that place, why should they need to be destroyed? And because of this question, Elam Arashi, he has a different approach on how to explain the machloikus of the Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda. But pluk to the Hani Tanoi, the Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Shviyos Perek Tes Mishnah Hei teaches us. Hakoyv Shlosh Kavoshim. You take three different types of vegetables and put them into vinegar to pickle them, to preserve them together. They were all put into Pachavas Achas, into one barrel. And now, as we've been discussing, when we speak about Perek Shviyos, the halach is when they're no longer available in the field, that's when there's a chiv of beer. But not all vegetables have the same zman beer. So we have these three different vegetables in this jar that have different times. How do we treat these vegetables? Rabbi Lezheimer, Eichlan Larishin. As long as one of those fruits, those vegetables, are no longer available, they're all considered the one vegetable, and we must dispose of all of them. It's considered the zman beer for all three. Rabbi Shuaimer, just the opposite. Afala Akron. Rabbi Shua takes the most lenient approach. Because what's the concern? He says that since the whole halacha is more lenient on tam, on taste, versus the actual fruit or vegetable when it comes to Hilchos Shviyos, so he says the tam of all three of these vegetables are considered one vegetable, and we can take the most lenient approach. Rabbi Meir says we look at each vegetable. We have three different vegetables in this barrel. The vegetable who the zman beer came from should be disposed. The vegetable whose zman beer has not come need not be disposed. I this tam. So the great Rishonim explained, Rabbi Gamliel is only concerned about the actual vegetable. He's not concerned about the tam when it comes to Hilchos Shemitah. So, and the Gemara says the halacha is this way. Now we can understand the machloikus of in our Mishnah. The Tanakhama says, Oy shekolch lemakom shaloi kolu, lemakom shekol chayv levar, holds like Rabbi Shua, that we could rely always that as long as there's a vegetable that is available, we could eat all of the vegetables. But Rabbi Yehuda holds, like Rabbi Gamliel, that every vegetable that's no longer available, we have to dispose of. The truth is, the Rishonim point out, that we could have said that Rabbi Gamliel holds, that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Elazar. Why did the Gemara say we hold like Rabbi Gamliel? Because the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, so we want Rabbi Yehuda to be consistent with the halacha. another explanation of our machlokes in our Mishnah. Viram plucked the Tanya Tanoi. It's the machlokes, the Tanoim, the Tanya Oichlin Mitmarim. One may eat figs of Shvius, even though they're not available in all of the areas. So as Rashi de Vermasco Oichlin explains, very much connected to the Gemara we're going to learn in Amud Beis, in Eretz Yisrael there were three regions, Yehuda, Galil, and Eiver HaYarden. In each one of these three regions are considered a distinct region. And when we measure and we try to understand, are peiros and yarkos available? Are fruits and vegetables not available? We look at each region independently. So as long as there's fruits and vegetables available in Yehuda, not necessarily in every place in Yehuda, it doesn't make a difference. It's considered it's available. But let's say they're not available in Yehuda anymore, but they are available in Galil, it's considered not available. Furthermore, each, as we've said before, every fruit and vegetable is looked at independently. And therefore, in some places, some fruits end up being eaten up by the animals quicker than in other areas. The halacha always is, we look at each individual area separately, and we look in each area, the fruit and vegetables of that area separately. So therefore, the Braisa says, Oichlim v'tmorim, we may eat figs or shmita, even though they're not available, generally, at Shiach l'achin shebetzoyer. Tzoyer was a city where there were many figs. So in the city of Tzoyer, it's most likely there are going to be figs for a longer time. That's a good enough reason that anywhere in Yehuda, you could keep on eating figs. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Oichlin aben akipin, ven oichlin ben ashitzin. When it gets very windy, the figs on the top of the tree fall down. Some fall down between the branches, and some fall down even lower to between the thorns. So says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that if they're available between the branches, that's considered that they're available. But if, because the animals will try to get to those fruit. But if they're only available amongst the thorns, the animals are not going to hurt themselves to try to get fruit that's only available between the thorns, and therefore it's not considered available. So now the Gemara explains, so now we can understand the Machlokes in our Mishnah. The Tanakam says that if the peiros are no longer available, it means that they have to be totally unavailable. But if there are fruits available amongst the thorns, even though, as we just explained, they're really not very accessible, it's still not considered that they're not available, and we could continue eating those fruits. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, is machmer, and he holds, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that if the fruits are only available amongst the thorns, they are not considered available, and therefore there's a chiyuv beer. So we just discussed that there's different regions, and what is the halacha regarding different regions regarding this man beer? Tanan hasam. So the Mishnah Masechet Shviyos Perek Das Mishnah Beis teaches us Shalosh Arotzos Lebir. Eretz Yisrael is divided, as we said, into three different regions: Yehuda, Galil, and Eiver HaYarden. Yehuda v'Shalosh Arotzos B'Chol Achas, and each one of these regions are divided into three, as the Rishonim explain, because in each one of these regions there are areas that are mountainous regions, there are areas that are valleys, and there are areas that are plains, that are flatlands. Ask the Mishnah, V'lama Amr Sharas Labir, why did we divide Eretz Yisrael into these three different regions? Says the Mishnah, She'echem b'kol achas v'achlas, that in each region we could continue eating, at she'ichla achron shabah. As long as in one region the peiros are available, that's enough that you could be able to eat an entire region. So the way Rashi learns, that even though, as we just said a moment ago, in each region there are different types of areas, there's Har, Shvela, Amek, it doesn't make a difference. They're all considered one region, and as long as they are available anywhere, in any type of area, in my region, anywhere in Yehuda, it's considered available. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos disagrees, because Tosfos asks a fundamental question. If, as Rashi explains, the three types of area in every region really all considered one area, so why does it need to be told to us that there's Har, Shvela, and Emek in every region? L'may nafkamina. And therefore, Tosfos says that if the Peiros are not available in the mountain region, even though they are available in the other regions, or vice versa, you cannot eat in any mountain region based on the fact that it's available in the flatlands or in the valleys, or vice versa. But what we are learning is that let's say you have an area that has more mountains, and you have an area that has less mountains. All mountain areas are considered one. Says the Gemara, Mehechen, not immediately, from where do we know this halacha? Amar Rabbi Bachan, Amar Rabbi Chama Barukva, Amar Rabbi Yosef Bachanina, Amar Kra. The pasuk says regarding the Peiros Shviyos, Olbehem techa l'chaya shebaratzecha, tia kol tvos l'echol. So we learn from here that as long as it's available to the animals, you could eat. Kol zman shechaya chels min asada, as long as the animals have what to eat, hachol. L'behem shebaratz, you could give it to the animals at home, the domesticated animals. Kol l'chaya shebasada, but if it's no longer, the fruits and vegetables are no longer available to the animals in the field, kol l'behem techa min asada, you may not eat it, or your animals may not eat it. The Gemiri, and we know, says the Gemara, Ein chayish b'Yehuda gedela peiros b'galul. An animal in Yehuda, if they won't find peiros in its own area, will go within Yehuda to look for fruit. But it won't leave Yehuda to look for fruit. But Ein chayish b'galul gedela peiros b'Yehuda. And therefore, everybody sticks to the area. And therefore, as long as it's available in the general area, the animals, that's considered that it's available. But if it's not available in that region, even though, as the Sfas-Emes points out, that it may be closer. You may have areas that in Galul are closer to certain places in Yehuda than other places in Yehuda. Animals stick to their region. And therefore, all of Yehuda is considered one region, and all of Galul is considered a separate region, and they can't be mixed up. Tan Rabbanan continues the Gemara. Peiros Shemitah fruit, Shiyotz Metz Yisrael L'Chutz L'Arts, the left Etz Yisrael to go to Chutz L'Arts, Mizbaran, must be destroyed, become Makim Shehein. Wherever they're found in Etz Yisrael, they should be disposed of. They don't have to be brought back to the original place. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, you could take them, you could destroy them even in Chutz L'Arts. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Yachsul Makimam, they have to be brought back to Etz Yisrael, V'Yizbaru, Shenemar Ba'artzucha, that the payers have to be brought back to Etz Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, Hafikte, but haven't we said that this pasuk has come to teach us that the halachas of the different regions within Eretz Yisrael? Answers the Gemara, Karbe Be'aretz Be'artzucha. It would have been enough for the pasuk to say Be'aretz. The Torah says Be'artzucha to teach us two halachas. One halacha is the halacha that we just spoke about the different regions within Eretz Yisrael, and the other halacha is that all Peiros Shviyos must be destroyed in Eretz Yisrael. Inami, we learn from the extra word Masher Be'artzucha. Of course, there's a very big question that the Rishonim and the Achronim discuss here. How may Peiros be taken out of Eretz Yisrael? Isn't there a halacha that Peiros Shviyos may not be taken out of Eretz Yisrael? So the Chazon Ish explains that if somebody lives in Eretz Yisrael and he's traveling to Chutz La'aretz and he needs food for the trip, under those circumstances, he's allowed to take Peiros to Chutz La'aretz. But the Pas HaShulchan says, and this is very relevant in the years of Shemitah when it comes to if people use Eretz Yisrael, the Esroigim, and then the Zman Bir for Esroigim come, they have to get burnt. So the question is, how could Peiros Shviyos be taken out of Eretz Yisrael? How could you use such a esrig? So the Pas Shulchan says the Isser of taking Peiros Shemitah out of Eretz Yisrael is only after the Zman Bir. But if it's before the Zman Bir, then it's not an issue. Furthermore, the Ritva says that if somebody took Peiros Shemitah out of Eretz Yisrael, which he should not have done, somebody took Peiros Shviyos out of Eretz Yisrael, which he should have not done. Once they're in Chutz La'aretz, they may be eaten. Says the Gemara, Rav Safra nafik me'etzisrael chutzlarts. Rav Safra left Etzisrael to go to chutzlarts. Have b'day garba d'cham d'shvias. He had with him a barrel of wine of Shemitah. And here two Tosfos asked the question, Rav Safra certainly knew the halacha that you're not allowed to take pure Shemitah out of Etzisrael. How did he take it out? So one teretz the Tosfos suggests is that you're not allowed to take pure Shemitah out of Etzisrael to eat. But if you want to do business with them, the halacha is that you can. But that, of course, is a very difficult answer, because the halacha is you're not allowed to do schayru peir shvius. So Taisa says a dava muat, a small amount, you're allowed to. Another teretz is that it was done b'shogig, and he didn't realize that he had this. He didn't realize that he had this wine with him. He forgot the halacha that you're not allowed to take out peir shvius. But again, if we follow the approach of the Pasa Shulchan, it's very understandable. Because the Pasa Shulchan holds that if you take out Peir Shvius before the Zman Habir, there is no problem. So the Gemara says, Lava Bahadai, traveling were with him, were Rav Huna Breda, Rav Ika, Rav Kahana. Amalu, Ika de Shmilei Menayda Rav Avua. Did anybody hear from Avua, Halakha of Shimon Ben Lozer, that the Halakha is the halacha like Rav Shimon Lozer that peir shvius that have to be burnt after the Zman Bir, they have to be burnt strictly in Eretz Yisrael, or may they be burnt in Chutz Lartz? Amalei Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana said to him, Hach Amar Rav Avua, halacha Rav Shimon Lozer. The halacha like Rav Shimon Lozer, they must be burnt in Eretz Yisrael. Amalei Rav Huna Breda Rav Ika, Hach Amar Rav Avua, and halacha Rav Shimon Lozer. The halacha is not like Rav Shimon Lozer, and they could be burnt even in Chutz Lartz. Amr of Safra, so Rav Safra said, the Koit Hai Klal Rav Huna B'Yotcha. We have to follow the approach of Rav Huna, that we don't have to, that the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Lozer, and they need not be burnt in Eretz Yisrael. The Daik Gomer Shmaitz Mepuma the Rabbi, whenever Rav Huna learned the Gemara, he was very, very careful to learn it exactly the way it was taught. Like Rechava the Pumbedisa, like we find Rechava, Rechava is the name of an Amira, who lived in the city of Pumbedisa, who he also was extremely careful that whenever he learned something, he learned that it should be perfectly exact the way he heard it. Dom Rechava, Amr of Yehuda. Harabayas, Stav Kafel Haya. There was a double row of benches, Stav Lefnam Mistav. There was encircled the Harabayas with a double row of benches. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, Rashi, the Vermaskel Kerechava, says usually the word for benches that were used is an itztaba. Yet we find Rav Chava, when he was speaking about these benches, did not call them itztaba. He called them stav. Why did he call them stav? Because that was the way he heard it from his Rebbe. And he was so careful that whenever he said something over, to say it exactly like he heard it from his Rebbe. Karla Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said about Rav Safra, Ami be'etza yishol umakol yagidloi. The pasuk in Hosea speaks about Klal Yisrael who weren't acting properly. They were asking, when they needed to know to do something, they asked the wood, they asked the stick. And he homiletically explained it, Kol amekaloi, Rav Safra had here a question, should we be machmel like Rav Shimon Melozer? Should we not be machmel like Rav Shimon Melozer? And says the Gemara, what he did was magadloi. He went and relied on the lenient approach to be makel and allowed the peir shvius to be destroyed in Chutz Lartz.